Hi, I'm Mike Dilk and you're listening to the Relax Back UK show, the show that explores all kinds of health topics relevant to you, your family and your friends. Each week I talk to expert guests from a range of backgrounds to inform and entertain you. So please do join the Relax Back UK family and stay tuned.
Hi and thank you for joining me on the Relax Back UK show. Get proactive is the phrase for this week. First of all, I chat to Dr. Ellie Cannon about respiratory illnesses such as flu and COVID.
People need to be proactive and understand that there are simple things that we can all do to prevent these respiratory illnesses.
Then Kenny Logan, Scottish Rugby International, has had prostate cancer. He found out about it pretty much by accident, really. So he suggests all us men get proactive.
Is go to Prostate Cancer UK risk checker. So go on that, takes you through the process, and then if you need to go and get checked, it will put you in the, point in the right direction.
So please do stay tuned for a great show. Thank you. My first question to Dr. Ellie Cannon was, what are the respiratory diseases that we should be worried about?
Well, we're really sort of talking about any of those conditions that cause, I suppose, coughs and colds, but also more serious illnesses. So particularly things like flu, RSV, pneumonia, COVID, of course, those infections, those microorganisms that we know in some vulnerable groups can lead to serious illness, which could mean hospitalisation.
I'm just going to interrupt you there. RSV, I don't know what that is. I don't think I've heard of it.
That's great because it's good to talk about that. So RSV is a virus, respiratory syncytial virus, which causes infections in everybody, but particularly seriously in little kids and also in older adults. It's one of the reasons why older adults sometimes are hospitalised with serious illness. And in my GP surgery, I see RSV because you may have heard of a condition that under fives get called bronchiolitis, and that's caused by RSV virus. And that basically sometimes also results in hospital admission. And in the last few years, the NHS has started vaccinating against RSV. So that's something that we should all know about now. Okay. So it might be one of those viruses that has crossed your threshold, but you may not have known the name of it.
Sure. All right. Well, so as a GP, you know, we're moving into winter. Are you seeing lots of patients with these illnesses?
Yes, of course. I mean, these illnesses do happen throughout the year, but winter is particularly bad for various reasons. We've already hearing that this year, 2025, is quite bad in terms of certain respiratory illnesses. And absolutely from my clinic, I can tell you this week we've had lots of calls about this type of thing, which is why talking about how we prevent them is so important.
Okay. All right. But so, you know, we get a bit ill, we cough a bit. Does it really matter? You know, is this a big deal?
It's a great question. So hopefully the majority of people will get a cough or a cold. And as you say, cough a bit, get slightly ill, and it's by the by. But unfortunately, for vulnerable groups, and let's say particularly for older adults, sometimes those respiratory illnesses can lead to severe illness and hospitalisation. And of course, we know that with RSV, with flu, with pneumonia, and in the not so distant memory, COVID. So we do know that it's preventing those serious illnesses, which is why it's so important to prevent the spread of these respiratory illnesses.
Yeah. And actually, we've all got pretty short memories. I mean, if you haven't actually had flu recently, like real flu, you forget just how awful it is.
That's right. Yeah, flu is a very serious illness, causes very high temperature, muscle aches, extreme exhaustion and fatigue, difficulty breathing. It's a serious illness, flu.
And it can kill you, actually.
Absolutely, it can kill you for sure. And it can lead to pneumonia. It can lead to hospitalization. It's not a short illness. It's often, you know, a week or two that people are ill. So it's absolutely very important that people understand how serious it is.
Actually, I did a bit of Googling before our chat because people talk about the Spanish flu. So I looked it up. And so in the year after the First World War, Spanish flu killed 50 million people. And that's like a conservative estimate. So, yeah, it's something serious that has to be looked at. So are we in trouble? Is the NHS overloaded? Is it going to get worse? Should we be worried?
Well, I don't think people need to be worried. I think people need to be proactive and understand that there are simple things that we can all do to prevent these respiratory illnesses. And this campaign from Pfizer is all about why people want to prevent these illnesses. What's your reason? So, for example, because you want to be active and socialize and stay well into your sort of older years. So rather than being worried, I would say it's time to be proactive. Think about the ways you can prevent these infections.
I like that. Let's get proactive. Let's take responsibility. Right. What should we do?
Well, the simple things are often the best. So we know that washing your hands, keeping your surfaces clean, absolutely prevents the spread of respiratory illnesses because the viruses can live on your hands, can live on surfaces. Likewise, it's important to cough or sneeze into a tissue so you're not sort of, infecting other people. And if you are eligible, to opt into vaccination, so whether that is for RSV or pneumonia, flu, then absolutely speak to your community pharmacist, speak to your GP about getting those done.
Yeah. Take up the invite and get vaccinated.
For sure.
Okay. And who gets invited? So, for instance, for flu, I'm 59. Mm. I haven't had an invite this year. Mm. My wife's the same age and she has. I feel a bit left out.
Well, it's a really, really good question. And basically, the thing is that different people get invited at different ages, and it depends on, for example, what your background health is. So, for example, if you're somebody with, let's say, asthma or chronic kidney disease, you might be invited earlier than other people. Right. If you don't have any background health conditions, then people are invited when they turn 60. And that's just for flu, but also there's other sort of criteria for other things. Actually, it's over 65. It's not over 60. Sorry. It's over 65 for flu. Also, young children are offered vaccinations for flu. It's all different depending on your background health.
Fair enough. Yeah. Although it's all different, is it possible to generalise about COVID? Are we still getting invited for COVID vaccinations? What's happened about that? Or is that all sort of done now?
Yeah, so specific groups are invited for COVID. And if you are one of those, then you will have had a message from your GP surgery.
All right. And in general, are we all getting vaccinated enough? You know, is there herd immunity to these various things? There's been some trouble, hasn't there, of getting people to come forward and actually get vaccinated because all these anti-vaxxers making lots of noise. And
It really depends on the vaccination. Actually, if you look at studies in the UK, people tend to very much trust their healthcare professionals, their GP and their pharmacists when it comes to offering vaccination. So it is very important to seek your health information from those people. And thankfully, the vulnerable groups, those people who are older, who've got all these reasons to stay healthy, do look to their GP and their pharmacist for this health information.
Yeah. Good. I'm generally up for any vaccinations I'm offered, really. I'm in the category of trusting the people that offer them.
That's lovely to hear. I'm pleased to hear it.
Yeah, I trained as a civil engineer. I don't know about this stuff, so I will listen to you. Let's move on. Another thing that some people do and some people, frankly, don't, masks. Now, they seem like potentially a good idea to me. A rather high-ranking politician quite recently Kemi Badenoch, said she's not in favour of masks and we should make up our own minds. And I kind of think in public health, we need guidance from people like, well, like you, and frankly, not politicians. I'm sure she's not a public health expert.
Well, I think it's, look, I think the important part of that is that actually, in terms of public health guidance, we have to be guided by the data and by what doctors like me call an evidence base. So that's why you'll find, for example, recommendations about hand washing and vaccinations rather than other things. That's because science has shown over the years that those things are valuable. And not only are those things valuable, they also don't cause harm. So they're worth doing and easy. Obviously, something like hand washing, very simple, easy idea, and there are benefits and no harms. So that's that. And I think that in terms of whether or not we should be wearing face masks right now, I think it's hard to pinpoint the data to say yes or no on a mass scale. And also, we do have to be careful about sort of giving too much public health advice unless we know that it's actually really valuable and it's really going to make a difference. Yeah. So in the case of we don't know if it's going to make a difference, like wearing face masks, then I actually do think it's probably best for people to make their own individual decisions rather than getting fatigued from experts telling them what to do all the time.
So you think that's an issue, that this fatigue from experts, people just go kind of turn off in the end, they get a bit fed up with it all?
Well, I think it's important that we make sure we give advice that is genuine, is data-driven, has benefits and doesn't have harms. And, you know, that's why I love something like this Pfizer campaign, which is saying, you know, talking to the idea of there are reasons why older people want to get vaccinated. It's not saying anything complicated. It's basically saying we've all got reasons to keep ourselves well. And that's a sort of great way of looking at preventing ill health. So I think, you know, I'm more in favour of things that are genuine and data driven rather than giving too much advice, some of which may not be evidence based.
Good. All right. Final thing then, you know, we are going into winter. People do worry about this stuff. If they would like to find some more information, some good sources of information that are believable and sensible, where can you suggest people go? I'm kind of thinking the NHS website is a good place, but I'm sure there are others.
Absolutely. The NHS website is a really great resource. I also think it's great if you're not digital savvy, you can chat to your community pharmacist because they can tell you about the vaccinations and winter health. And you can have a look at the Pfizer campaign, whatsyourreason.co.uk, which gives sort of lovely ideas about why different elderly people are opting into their prevention for winter illnesses.
Excellent. That sounds like very good advice and a good place to stop. So, Dr. Ellie, thank you very much indeed for taking the time to chat.
Thank you.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving, it's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
When you vacation with Norwegian Cruise Line, every day is a new day. Get a taste for Barcelona, then savor incredible dining options back on board one day. Connect to ancient history in Athens, and then disconnect completely in our spa another day. Wherever the sea breeze takes you, come aboard and experience a different tomorrow with NCL. Visit ncl.com, call your travel agent, or call 0333-336-1472. Norwegian Cruise Line, Ships Registry, the Bahamas and USA.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Before we chat with the next guest, that's Kenny Logan, Scottish Rugby International, I want to mention my book. It's called Cut the Crap, Ask the Questions That Matter About Your Health. It's based on many of the great discussions that I have had on this show with some truly wonderful guests. It's the name again, it's Cut the Crap, Ask the Questions That Matter About Your Health. It's a great present for anyone who's at all interested in health. It's available on Amazon and it's a good read. Now, the next guest, as I said, is Kenny Logan, a Scottish international rugby player. And the topic is prostate cancer, which Kenny has actually had himself.
Yes, I was diagnosed with prostate cancer probably 3.5 years ago.
Okay.
And, I then was monitored for 18 months. And then I was then told, you've got prostate cancer. And we need to.
I've got loads of questions. We're going to ask you all about that. But before we start that, if I may, for a rugby international, prostate cancer is not the first sort of problem that I might think about, because essentially your body will have been bashed about for years. And, you know, I think about other things, you know, like damage to joints and, you know,
I've got
problems
too, don't worry,
getting hit on the head so many times, stuff like that.
Yeah, no, my head's all right, which is good. Yeah, you get the odd sore back, and it's funny, you go, my knee's really sore. And Gabriel says to me, how do you think you hurt it? I went, I think it was like when I played against England back in the day. And she's going, what? You know, because you remember like injuries. I mean, sometimes when I stand up, my knees are good and I still train and I do challenges and stuff like that. So I think the key thing as you get older is doing training and weights, definitely keeping the muscles moving. And I did fall for a period of time not doing that much training, just couldn't be bothered. I'd done so much in my life that I'm not doing
it
anymore.
How many years ago was it that you stopped playing at an elite level?
When you said international rugby player, I mean, let's go ex international rugby player, right? So my last game of rugby, as in for Scotland, was 2003, 20 years ago.
Okay.
20 odd years ago.
So enough time for the niggles to be felt.
Yeah. I mean, I'm actually not bad. You know, I think definitely as you get older, things change, right? And this is one of the conversations we're going to move on to.
Tell me about it.
You start to go, this is a bit sore, I can't do that anymore. In general, I'm all right. My body's in good shape. You know, I get the odd thing that's sore, I just got to look after it for a couple of days or whatever, and then suddenly it's okay again. And then I'll wait for another year to come back. But in general, I'm pretty good, in pretty good shape.
Glad to hear it. All right, let's move on.
What about you? How are you? Are you in good shape?
Well, I'm not too bad. I'm a bit older than you. I'm 60.
Yeah.
And recently I decided I was essentially a bit fat and a bit unfit.
Right.
So I decided to do something about it. And in my office right next to me, there's an exercise bike.
You want a bike? No.
No, but I am thinking of starting to do interviews on the bike. So it'll be Mike on the mic on the bike.
On the mic on the bike. Yeah. Like it.
And I know a lot of rugby players train on bikes, don't they?
Yeah, I like bikes. I like a bike. I don't want to run. I've done enough running. And I mean, I'd rather go and do 1,000 miles on my bike and even think about doing a marathon.
I was a couple of weeks ago, I was talking to another Scottish international, but for the women's team, Rona.
Rona,
And she said she trained so hard on a static bike that once she just vomited through cycling so hard.
Yeah, we used to do that. That's so it's a good way of getting your heart rate up. And if you push yourself and there's obviously numbers in front of you and you try to get the number and you try to push it. You know, I've done, you know, I remember 2003 World Cup, we were training in bikes in a greenhouse because it was so hot where we were going to be playing. We needed altitude and we're all in these greenhouses and 30 blokes with bikes and falling off the bikes and throwing up. It was terrible. But I don't do that. But now it's different, isn't it? Now we're sitting here going, right, I need to go and get checked for my prostate.
Yes.
I'm at that stage in my life.
So, which brings us back to the kind of the topic in hand. So let's talk about prostates for a little bit. I would love to ask you more about training. That'll have to be another show.
You can do a bit of training. You got to train. I would say as you get older, you've got to do weights. You don't have to be like smashing running, but running is obviously good for you, but like doing weights, walking, you know, moving, exercise in general, but certainly doing weights to keep your muscles connected to your bones and your bones connected to your ligaments.
Just keep yourself moving. Look after yourself. Yeah. But all right, I'm going to drag you back to prostate. How common is prostate cancer anyway?
That's a good question. 1 in 8 people are diagnosed with prostate and 1 in 4 people who are black are diagnosed. So 55,000 people a year will have prostate cancer and 12,000 people sadly die of prostate cancer. So it is a big issue, and that's one of the reasons I'm on today. I'm very lucky. I've got Johnson & Johnson launching the Prostate Cancer Don't Wing It campaign. So that's one of the big things we're trying
to do. You were a winger, weren't you?
I was a winger. Do you like
it? Okay, hence the name of the campaign, right?
Like it. Took me ages to think of that.
So tell me, you got diagnosed a few years ago, but kind of by luck.
Total luck. As I say, Gabby had during COVID, Gabby had set this podcast up about midlife for men, women, and midlife is somewhere between 37 and 57.
Let's just rewind. Who's Gabby? Gabby's your wife.
Gabby Logan, my wife. Yeah. The famous one in the family. And so she set this podcast up. And, you know, obviously,
I'm punching above my weight as well. Yeah, I've got a much smarter, cleverer wife as well.
And, so the podcast was all that I said. I was listening to Davina McCall talking about her menopause and how hard it was and frustrating, all the sort of side effects. So I came back home and I said to Gabby, I said, well, she's going through that. What are we going through? She said, well, men are different, but you probably should. Why don't you go get a well man test and see where your hormones are and see all the other blood markers you can look at? I never heard of PSA up until then. So I go and get tested, sit down with the guy and says, all right, this is good, this is good, this is good. And, you know, you're all normal. He said, but your PSA levels are a bit high. I said, what does that mean? He goes, it's to do with prostate cancer. He goes, you're probably all right. He said, but I think you probably need to go and get checked. So I was like, okay, so I'll go and get checked. And then he said, go and see the doctor, the specialist. And he says to me, right, we'll probably do another blood test and we'll probably do a biopsy just to make sure. So I do a biopsy and he said, right, you've got cancer in there, but it's not doing anything. And it might stay like that for 10 years, 5 years. It might just decide to, and next week to go, right, I'm going to start moving. So we'll monitor you. And I said, well, you sort of go, am I going to be all right? You know, he goes, oh yeah, we're on it. This is the point. If you find it at the right time, we can monitor it and take it out at the right time. I thought, oh, fine. So I didn't really think much about it. Every 6 months I got tested, and then...
So was the test every 6 months? Was that another
blood
PSA?
Test, just a PSA test, just a blood test. I mean, the technology now is miles better than it was 10, 15 years ago. So anyway, I then, 18 months into it, so like 3 years ago, he said to me, right, your level number's gone up to 7.8. He said, we're going to do another biopsy. And then we did the next biopsy. Said, right, we need to do 3 things. We have brachytherapy or radiotherapy or get it out. And I said, I want to get it out. And then I went, what do you think? And he went, well, I think you should go in your gut. And he said, you're a young, fit man. I'd get it out. But there is complications to get it out. I said, what's that? He goes, well, you can get erectile dysfunction. And I went, oh, I just want it out. Never really thought about it. Didn't really thought, that's actually quite important. So I went through that whole process.
Well, there's other potential side effects as well. I mean, that's enough, but that's incontinence is one as well, isn't it?
Yeah, and very, very, I think, because of the technology now with the robot, it's when they take the prostate out. So I was slightly worried a little bit about being in a meeting and suddenly couldn't hold my pee in because I just couldn't do it. But actually, very quickly, I was fine. It's embarrassing, right? You think about it a bit more. You go to the toilet a bit more because you just don't want to, as you say, leak or whatever. But I've been very open about talking about this because I think there's no point us beating about the bush. We need to be honest. If men can just go and get checked, Prostate Cancer UK Risk Checker, just go get checked, get yourself thinking about it. And then if there's something not right, you found it at the right time. So I was very lucky.
Kenny, can we just rewind a little bit? Because your PSA levels were high. So they did another test. They actually went in somehow.
So they did a biopsy.
They did a biopsy. Right. Yes. How do they do that?
Well, you don't want to know that. You do.
No, we want to know everything. That's the point, God. Kenny.
Gabby told me not to talk about this. So they go in through your back passage, and it's like a staple gun, basically. So you're awake, and it's just like a staple gun going off. And, you're sort of awake, looking around, and it is invasive, but at the same time, it saved my life, right? So I look at it.
So it's unpleasant, and it takes a few minutes?
Takes about 10 minutes or something like that.
Okay. All right, so it's a no-brainer. A bit of unpleasantness for 10 minutes.
If you're having this done, it's because they found something. They don't do it just for the sake of it. They always say, then you come, give you a quick biopsy. What are you doing today? I tell you what, you fancy giving me a biopsy? It doesn't work like that. So if they are going to do it, it's for a reason.
Right.
That's
an outpatient appointment.
In and out of the day.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I had that. Then, and bizarrely, my prostate was enlarged, and the side that was enlarged was okay, and the other side where there was no enlargement, was no swelling, but that's where the cancer was. And actually, when they were doing the biopsy, they were sort of chatting to me, should we do the other side? And I went, actually, when you're in there, you might as well, they're all laughing away. It's very relaxed. Like, you don't feel, it's a bit odd, but anyway, it is what it is. But, I love the fact that, no, I didn't love the fact that it happened, but I love the fact that, that's the wrong word. Love's not the right word. I think I would say I went through that process because I knew that I'd get results. I would understand that they would understand what I am, and they were in control of the situation. So they're doing all these things to get control of it, so I would be all right.
Yeah. All right, so we had the biopsy. They say, right, very sorry, we need to do something else about it. So that moves on to the operation. And you mentioned a robot.
Yeah, so they have a little, just where your tummy button is, you have maybe 2-inch scar, and then they've got three more small scars in your stomach, of which they go through your stomach wall into, and then they pull the prostate out of your stomach. So it's quite deep into the undercarriage, and you're a bit sore after it. You have to, you're back pretty much within 2 or 3 weeks. You're back walking around, and you've got a catheter in, which is not pleasant. But the interesting thing is, it's out your body. It's gone. That's the thing. I didn't want to. There's other treatments you can have where there's no invasive. You take tablets, or you get brachytherapy, or you got radiotherapy. I just wanted rid of it. I was young, I was fit. And some people can live with it and they die of something else because they're on the tablets and it keeps it at bay. And, I know some people who are 60, 70, have been on the tablets for 15 years. The numbers haven't moved, but that's their decision, right? What they want to do.
Yeah. Well, do those other potential treatments have side effects as well?
I don't really know, but the other treatment, nowhere near like this, I don't think.
Right.
From a side, I don't think so. I think maybe a lot of people do it because of worrying about erectile dysfunction. But I mean, by the way, we get to that age, people are getting erectile dysfunction without prostate cancer, never mind. You know, so that is also an issue for men. But I was very lucky, you know, from a point of view of struggling with a wee, you know, you sometimes, when you go out, you think, right, I need to watch what I drink. But it gets better every day. And, you know, I'm very lucky that I'm all good.
All right. So as far as those symptoms go,
I'm all good.
You're okay.
Yeah.
All good in every aspect of life.
Yes, this, all good. You're very lucky.
That is worth knowing. But that's taken a while to get back, has it? You know, because the operation was a while ago now.
I mean, I was probably back to being pretty normal in 3 months, maybe.
Okay, good.
Maybe 6 months, 3-4 months, maybe 3-4 months. Yeah. I was back to being normal. You know, you have, it's a very open process. Like, you know, it's invasive in the sense that, you know, it's all your private parts are getting moved around, and there's a robot in there, and you know.
You say robot. The surgeon must have been.
So the surgeon's
there.
On the robot.
Keyhole surgery, isn't it?
Yeah, I wasn't awake at the time, but it's keyhole surgery basically. But the robot is doing. I think the reason it's very good around all the nerve endings, where if you're doing it with maybe a Stanley knife, it might be a bit different.
All right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Okay.
Bit of a DIY.
Goodness. All right. So there has been some talk. I mean, I would find it difficult if I had the choice. Okay, you can have an operation to get rid of it.
Yeah.
But it maybe come with some side effects or other courses of treatment. It's quite a decision to have to take. Were you given a lot of help and guidance?
It's a good point. So as soon as the surgeon told me, I said, "What shall I do?" And he said, "I would take it out if I was you. You're young, you're fit, take it out, you'll never have it." And that was my gut. Because the other way of, if you take it out, it's gone. Well, I think that it can come back with the other treatments.
Yeah.
And if it comes back, I don't think they can then take out the prostate. So
you've really got to chat that through with the surgeon, the people that are treating you, and get all the facts on the table and make an informed decision.
Yeah. Yeah, so from my point of view, I thought I'll worry about that after. My first thing is the symptoms. I worry about the symptoms after I've got the prostate out. My mindset as a sportsman was, I want out my body. I don't want to think about it. I don't want to keep going every 6 months going, is it any bigger? Has it come back? You know what I mean? That just take me into a different mindset. So my mindset was very much, get it out, deal with the next thing as it comes along. And I dealt with it. And I was, I say, lucky, and you know, everything's working, so that's good.
Good. So this last week, actually, it's been it's been in the news a lot. Prostate cancer. Yeah, the idea of screening has been talked about a lot. Now, considering that you kind of pretty much found your prostate cancer by accident, what are your thoughts on screening? Because you know, there's a lot of different thoughts flying around at the moment.
Yeah, there is different thoughts. I think. I'm obviously disappointed that there's not a national screening. You know, bowel cancer's got it, but the biggest killer to men is prostate cancer. So you would think that prostate cancer would have a screening program. I do know that Prostate Cancer UK are in talks with them on other trials they're doing to show more evidence that we should be doing this. So it'll be an ongoing conversation with them.
What actually is the situation? Do you know? Do you get screening if it's in your family, or
at the moment,
black people get screening? It's kind of targeted screening.
Yeah, it's targeted screening now. So they have said that for example, Ruben, my son, would be, because I've had it, he will get notified at whatever age it will be. Is it 50 still? I think it's still 50.
That sounds about right.
50-ish, yeah. But certainly for black men, you need to be like 45. But I think even, you know, the horrible sad news of Chris Hoy, he was 45. But I think 45, because he had it in his family, he would have been screened at 45 or screened at 44, whatever age it would have been. Mm-hmm. And maybe we'd have caught Chris earlier. I'm not sure, but that is a good thing, right? So at least we're doing that. But there's also a lot more people than just that small percentage who can be, you know, let's say 55,000 new cases every year, every year. And 12,000 men die every year. That's a big number.
That's a massive number.
It's really important.
Okay. May probably a good time now, although you didn't have any symptoms, seeing as you're involved now, a quick summary of potential symptoms.
So it's a good question. I wouldn't know the symptoms because I've never had them. And if you are getting symptoms, you know, some people just have sore joints or sore back or whatever. If you get, and then I'm not a specialist here, but if you get diagnosed and you've got symptoms, that probably means it's outside the prostate.
Right. Okay. Well, the symptoms I've heard about are a requirement to pee a bit more often, getting up to pee, you know, 3 or 4 times a night.
Yeah, and urinate, yeah, it's one of the symptoms, yeah.
That's definitely one of them. So I'm 60. I do get up to pee, but rarely more than once. So I'm hoping I'm okay.
I mean, the thing, yeah, a good friend of mine, Tom Smith, who sadly passed away, he was 50 years old, and he was getting back pain, and he thought it was his old rugby injury, right?
Right.
And it was prostate cancer, because the prostate had come outside the prostate. Back pain, hip pain. Now, if I was looking at me and wasn't get tested, for example, I get a sore back, I get a sore hip, right? Now, because I know about prostate cancer because I've been through it, I just went, oh, that's just because that old rugby injury, and that's what he did. He was going, that's old rugby injury. Yeah. Now, if he was in a screening, he would have been picked up.
Goodness. Okay.
It is really important that we try and get some sort of screening at some stage. And I know that Prostate Cancer UK, should I say, are in talks with them because we all want it. And we've got to think about how we can help these people. I say 55,000 a year. It's incredible.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure there are good reasons why it hasn't been introduced. I can't imagine what they are at the moment. It might be something to do with kind of overwhelming the NHS. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe it could be, but would it not save the NHS money in the long run?
I think it probably would, yes. Okay, so now is probably a very good time to get some advice on if people are, you know, remotely worried, you know, maybe they're getting up to pee 3 or 4 times a night.
Well, can I just say, when you say remotely worried, if you're 45, black man, and you're a 50-year-old white man, go and get tested. Don't wait for, oh, I'm peeing a bit more, or I've got a sore hip, or all the symptoms. Because if you've got symptoms, your conversation is totally different. So you can make this really easy for you. Just go and get tested. Go and get a blood test.
Okay, so how can people do that? Well,
you go to your GP and ask for a blood test.
Okay,
the first thing
simple.
I would do is go to Prostate Cancer UK risk checker. So go on that. It takes you through the process, and then if you need to go and get checked, that will put you in the point in the right direction.
Okay. That sounds like very good advice, Kenny. So look, thank
please
you very
do
much.
I mean, honestly, it's so important.
Yeah. No, I mean, you've been through it. Absolutely. Yeah.
And I was lucky one.
I think people need to take that on board. So Kenny, thank you very much indeed for chatting.
Thanks
now,
for having me.
The time's 11:20. At 12:30, I'm going to be on my bike. We mentioned the bike. I'm going to be on the Watt bike in the office.
Man.
I'm actually going to be streaming it on YouTube. So if you want to join me, Kenny, you can hop on your bike and we'll go for a cycle ride together.
I'd like to go outside my bike.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I get it. Outside is
outside.
Good.
Not in this weather, though.
But outside, yeah.
Have a summer cycle. Weights in the winter, cycle in the summer.
Okay. I will try and follow your lead a little bit, but I'm certainly going to go for a pedal in about an hour.
Good
so,
man.
Kenny, thanks for chatting.
Spread the love.
I will. Cheers.
Good lad.
A big thank you to my guests this week, and they were Dr. Ellie Cannon talking about respiratory diseases and Kenny Logan talking about prostate cancer. Thank you to you for listening, and have a healthy week until next week. And also, as I was chatting to Kenny about, do tune in and watch me doing my Watt bike exercises. I've got a static bike and you can join me. I stream my exercises on Tuesdays, Thursdays and Fridays at 12:30 on my YouTube channel at 12:30. So join me then.
the station that makes you feel good.
If you see the letters AIDA, do you immediately think of the opera by Verdi? AIDA is also an advertising acronym for those iconic Mad Men days. A is for attention, I is for interest, D is for desire, A is for action. This process is a timeless truism for making a sale. Fortunately, if your product or service is health-related, we can offer you guaranteed access to a global audience with a high interest in health, healthy lifestyle and contemporary well-being. UKHealthRadio.com has a regular monthly audience of around 1.5 million health-conscious people. And Health Triangle, its award-winning monthly magazine, has around 20,000 paying subscribers. Find out more about both at UKHealthRadio.com. Let's all put health first.
Hey, are you tired of the irritation you get down there from pads and other bladder weakness products? Tena-sensitive care pads are the first ever bladder weakness pads enriched with a skin comfort formula. The skin-friendly layer in combination with the soft, 100% breathable materials helps protect intimate skin from irritation. And as always, you have triple protection from leaks, odor, and moisture. Gynecologist tested and dermatologically approved by the Skin Health Alliance. Look for Tena-sensitive care pads with a skin comfort formula online and in stores now.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Thanks for listening to the Relax Back UK show. Join me, Mike Dilk, again next week for more fascinating interviews and chat. If you're listening to the podcast version, please subscribe, like, and share it with your family and friends. And have a healthy week. Until next week.